Thank you, and welcome to VIG's conference call. Today, Liane Hirner, CFRO, Peter Höfinger, member of the Managing Board, and Werner Matula, our Chief Actuary, are hosting the call. Liane will start with the presentation of the 2022 preliminary results, and Werner will guide you through the life and health embedded value development. After the presentation, we are happy to take your questions. Liane, please go ahead.
Thank you, Nina, and a warm welcome also from my side to today's conference call for the preliminary financial results of 2022. Please, let me add that unfortunately, our Group CEO, Elisabeth Stadler, is not able to join. She had a medical treatment, so she's not able to be here in the headquarters, but I hope that she is able to participate online. I'm pleased to present an excellent set of results. VIG was able to achieve a more than solid operational and business performance in 2022, despite the challenging macroeconomic environment. Our business model with local entrepreneurship and broad diversification in products, markets, and sales channels has once again proven its resilience and led to convincing results. Premiums were up by 14.1% to 12.6 billion euros, supported by growth in all segments and in all lines of business, except life single premium. Our profit before taxes increased by 51 million euros to 562.4 million euros. This figure includes impairments taken in relation to our Russian bond exposure and goodwill impairments, as well as impairments on other intangible assets. The business operating result amounts to 630 million euros, substantially up by 23% compared to 2021. The operating return on equity for 2022 has also increased to 11.9% after 10.9% last year. The combined ratio for 2022 was 94.9%, slightly higher than 2021, but at a level we are comfortable with given the current macroeconomic environment and especially the high inflation. A strong preliminary solvency ratio of 280% is reassuring, also in light of our A+ stable outlook rating with Standard & Poor's, which Standard & Poor's confirmed last year. I would also like to mention the excellent new business margin for life and health of 3.6% for the group, which was up from 2.5% in 2021. Our Chief Actuary, Werner Matula, will present the details in a couple of minutes. Based on these solid figures and taking into account the still volatile environment, we propose an increased dividend per share of 1.30 euro for 2022. In line with VIG's dividend policy of distributing 30%-50% of group net profits, the payout ratio amounts to 35.7%, leading to an attractive dividend yield of 5.8%. In keeping our long-lasting track record of paying dividends each year since our stock listing in 1994, VIG remains the reliable partner also for capital markets. Let me now guide you through the results in more detail, starting with the income statement on slide five. As already mentioned, we saw very strong premium and profit growth over the year, with and without the contribution of the former Aegon companies. Adjusting for the first-time consolidation effects, premiums would still grow double-digit by 10.1%. Our financial result increased by 28% or roughly 172 million euros. A positive development mainly coming from Aegon Turkey and Aegon Hungary, as well as from the changed interest rate environment. These positive effects overcompensated the impairments already taken in the second quarter on our Russian bond exposure in the amount of around 84 million euros. Speaking of impairments, as you can see in the line adjustments in the income statement, we had impairment in the amount of 67.6 million euros last year. This is split into goodwill impairments of roughly 26 million euros for Albania, including Kosovo and North Macedonia, as well as impairments of around 41 million euros, mainly for insurance portfolios and customer bases. Despite these one-offs, we were able to increase our pre-tax profit double-digit by 10%. Adjusted for the first-time consolidation of the Aegon companies, the increase would have been 14.6%. The results of the Aegon companies are impacted or were impacted by the impairments and the additional tax on insurance premiums in Hungary. Both favorable profit development and a tax ratio of 17.4% compared to 24.1% last year led to a net profit after taxes and minorities of 465.9 million euros, up 24%. The reason for the lower tax ratio is coming from Austria. There, the interest rate development and the valuation of available for sale assets related to special funds at year-end 2022 caused a reversal of already taxed income and an extraordinary positive one-off in Austria. Let's move on the positive premium development by segment on slide 6, proving that local entrepreneurship and the flexibility of our group companies have paying off. Austria contribution with 4.1 billion euro, the biggest part of premiums, grew by 2.2%, driven by non-life and health. Strong premium growth was recorded in the Czech Republic with a plus of 257 million euros. There, the other property and motor business, as well as life insurance with regular premium, were the drivers. Extended CEE and special markets, the two segments showing the strongest premium growth rates, were supported by the first-time consolidation of the former Aegon companies in Hungary and Turkey. However, even adjusted for the consolidation effect, extended CEE and special markets would grow double-digit by 14%, respectively 34%. We are not only very satisfied with the premium development by segment, but also with the development by lines of business, which we show on slide 7. The overall increase of 1.6 billion euros includes roughly 444 million euros in premiums from former Aegon companies in Hungary and Turkey. Especially the growth in life regular premium business is coming out of these two markets. But even adjusted for the first-time consolidation, we could record 3.6% growth in this line of business. In Romania, the bankruptcy of City Insurance had a positive impact on MTPL premiums, strongly contributing to the overall growth of 20.1% in MTPL. I would also like to mention the premium development in Turkey, where favorable market conditions supported extraordinary premium increases both in MTPL and Casco. The main contributor to the 12.4% growth rate in health were the Baltics, followed by Georgia and Austria. Over the page, we show the result before taxes by segment. Profit increase by 6.3% demonstrates the strength of our Austrian business, considering that this includes the measures taken in relation to the Russian investment exposure. The improved combined ratio of 92.4% in P&C and favorable results also in life and health complete the picture in healthy and solid operations in Austria. In Poland, we are currently experiencing a more competitive market environment, especially in motor. In addition, it's a lower financial result compared to the previous year, leading to the 18.2 million euros weaker pre-tax profit. Profit in extended CEE was impacted by goodwill impairments of 26.2 million euros for Albania, including Kosovo and North Macedonia. as well as impairments of other intangible assets. These are mainly impairments of insurance portfolios of around 19 million euros and impairment of customer bases of around 15 million euros in connection with Aegon Hungary. Moreover, result before taxes in extended CEE also includes the additional tax on insurance premiums in Hungary for 2022 in the size of around 26 million euros. The segment Special Markets was up by 30.5% due to an increased financial result driven by the first time consolidation of Vienna Life, which is the former Aegon company in Türkiye. I will elaborate on this in more detail in a few minutes. Before that, let's move on to slide 9 and the combined ratio development. We aimed for a combined ratio of around 95% despite the challenging market environment, and together with our group companies have taken all efforts to achieve this. Combined ratio for 2022 at solid 94.9%, only slightly up compared to last year, demonstrates our expertise and discipline in managing our P&C portfolios in the current market setting. I have already mentioned the highly competitive motor market environment in Poland, which was mainly responsible for the 3 percentage point increase in the combined ratio in this market. Nevertheless, the combined ratio with 96.1% is well below 100%. The cost ratio in the segment extended CEE is burdened by the additional tax on insurance premiums in Hungary of 26 million euros, which I already mentioned earlier, and by the limited product portfolio in Ukraine due to the ongoing war. While the development of motor claims burdened the combined ratio in the Czech Republic, Türkiye recorded a favorable claims development in Casco, which helped to reduce the combined ratio in the Special Markets segment overall. With this, let's move now on to page 10 and the financial result. Very strong developments in the current income, which increased by roughly 120 million euros or 13%. This is driven by the first time consolidation of the Aegon companies, but even adjusted for that, the increase would be 8%, showing the positive impact coming from the increased interest rate environment. Another consequence of the first time consolidation of Vienna Life, the former Aegon Türkiye, is the positive effect in the exchange rate changes coming from assets denominated in euros and US dollars. In addition, I would like to point out that the precautionary measure amounting to approximately 43 million euros, which we have built in the second quarter last year for the Russian bond exposure, has been released in Q4 as no further impairments needs materialized. However, the impairment of roughly 84 million euros taken in the second quarter last year remains of course. Let's turn to slide 11, where we show the breakdown of our roughly 34 billion investments. The portfolio mix has remained relatively stable with some minor changes due to the consolidation of the Aegon companies. Overall, our conservative investment approach, denominated by fixed income assets, remains with no substantial changes in the investment strategy planned for the time being. Details regarding the bond portfolio by rating and by issuer are presented on the right side of this slide and over the page on slide 12. We also providing the rating distribution of our bond portfolio. With this, I now hand over to Werner Matula for presenting the details on the life and health embedded value. Werner, please go ahead.
Many thanks, Liane. In fact, this is the final embedded value disclosure of Vienna Insurance Group. For many, many years, the market consistent embedded value or MCEV has been the supplementary information to the IFRS 4 financials to illustrate the performance of our long-term life and health business. As the industry is now changing the reporting standard for insurance contracts to IFRS 17, the relevant information KPIs will be part of our IFRS financials from now on. and a separate disclosure of the embedded value will not be necessary anymore. EIG completely harmonized the embedded value and the requirements and methodology to Solvency II. The embedded value can therefore be seen as own funds of the life and health business in scope. In this respect, I think it's worth mentioning that there are differences in methodology between Solvency II and IFRS 17. One of the important conceptual differences is that the value in force component of the embedded value is not part of the equity under IFRS 17, but an insurance liability disclosed as contractual service margin. I will explain the development of the embedded value using the earnings analysis separately for Austria, Germany, and CEE as I did the years before. If we look on slide 14, we observe a very strong increase of the embedded value in Austria, Germany from 2 billion euro to 2.86 billion euro. This was obviously driven by a strong increase of interest rates and resulting in a positive economic variance of more than 900 million euro. Compared to this, the update of assumptions and the experience variances are relatively small. The contribution of the new business sold was 33.7 million euro with a margin of 2.6% compared to 1% last year. Again, mainly driven by higher interest rates. Please note that here the long-term health business of Austria is included. Moving to slide 15, we see a development of the CEE embedded value, which is very much in line with previous years. CEE is not as sensitive to interest environment due to the risk and unit-linked life business in the books. As a consequence, the economic variance has only a small impact. Typically, we observe a positive experience variance in CE. This is capturing the renewal of short contract boundaries in line with the Solvency II regulation. And that's also one of the other important differences to IFRS 17. Solvency II has a risk perspective, while IFRS 17 looks at contracts. A short contract boundary will not be applied to additional covers under IFRS 17 in the future. The new business value in CEE was 56.9 million euro with an excellent margin of 4.8%, also 1% up compared to last year. The increase is only partially driven by interest rates, but mainly by the higher proportion of the profitable business sold in 2022. Overall, the embedded value in CEE increased from 1.75 billion euro to 1.92 billion euro, which corresponds to a return of 170.3 million euro or 9.7%. Summing all this up, we see the results for VIG on slide 16. Last year, we reported an embedded value of 3.85 billion euro. After adjusting for the dividends paid from the life and the health businesses and the foreign exchange rate effects, the adjusted embedded value of last year is 3.75 billion euro. The value creation is then reflected in a return of slightly more than 1 billion euro, or 27.5%, resulting in an embedded value of 4.78 billion for 2022. Almost 9% of this return is the new business contribution of 90.6 million euro with a margin of 3.66% compared to 2.5% last year, as Liane already mentioned at the introduction. Even under favorable interest rate developments in Austria and Germany, the CEE region contributes significantly with 40% to the total embedded value. So far, the brief overview of our final embedded value results, which marks the end of an 18-year tradition of supplementary reporting to IFRS 4. We are very much looking forward to the derivation of the respective KPIs from our future IFRS 17 financial statements. With this, I'm handing back to Liane for the summary and the outlook.
Thank you, Viana. We just presented profitable new business in life, and especially in Austria, a big portfolio of traditional life business for which the rising interest rate development is, of course, favorable, in combination with our underwriting discipline on the non-life side, led to the excellent results achieved by VIG Group in 2022. The broad diversification of the group and our overall prudent and conservative business approach, together with the strong capitalization, form the basis for the resilience of VIG, even in challenging times. This is why we are satisfied with the solvency ratio of 280%, including transitionals. The ratio is clearly above our target range at the moment, but we see this for the time being as valuable support, especially in a volatile market environment. Moreover, the strong capital position makes sure that we can pursue our resilient business model and, after a successful year like 2022, are able to suggest an attractive dividend per share of 1.30 euros at our annual general meeting. Based on the strong results 2022, we are confident to be able to achieve further positive operating performance also in 2023. In view of the still uncertain geopolitical situation, elevated levels of inflation, rising interest rates, and volatility on capital markets, especially we can see it also in these days, are the predictability of business developments is limited. Therefore, and in view of the change to the new accounting standards, a more concrete outlook for 2023 on the basis of IFRS 17 and 9 will only be possible in the course of the year. Thank you for your attention, and we are ready now to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. Please make sure your phones have the DTMF tones activated in order to register for a question. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is coming from Bhavin Rathod from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three. The first one would be on the cost ratio in Poland, which was remarkably high in the fourth quarter of 2022. Could you just provide any additional color as in what was the driver of this higher cost ratio in Poland? I'll appreciate there's some competition going on, but any indication as in what drove this higher ratio? Was it higher acquisition cost or claims handling? Any colors would be really helpful. The second one would be on Turkey. If you could provide any early indication on your exposure to the Turkish earthquake, any early figures, that would be really helpful. Lastly, on the claims inflation outlook for 2023. I'll appreciate the fact that you are providing inflation is expected to decrease. Vis-a-vis, how do you see the P&C prices to evolve in 2023? Also with respect, I appreciate that you have short tail nature of book in the CE market, and you're able to reprice it quite quickly. Are you seeing any pushback from the customers in terms of churn or moving around or doing some bargain hunting, or are they able to take on the higher prices that you are putting through? Any colors around the pricing part in the CE market would be really helpful. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, Peter Höfinger. Thank you for your questions. They're all on me. I start maybe with the last topic, pricing on P&C. I think if you look on our claims ratio, which we have presented for last year, you see that our claims ratio stayed stable. We could prove our ability to deal with rising inflations and keeping claims ratio at the same level, even though the environment is challenging out of inflation. On one hand side, this is driven by certain rate increases. It's also very much driven in talking with our clients to recheck their sum insureds and increasing sum insureds and respectively having higher premiums. Certainly also on the topic of claims handling, being in an environment in Central Eastern Europe where inflation has been there also in the past, some years ago, we have management resources which are quite well experienced in dealing with this issue. Maybe different to some countries in the Western world where management resources never had in their professional career the challenge of inflation as we have seen it last year. Looking to this year, and I'm talking On one hand side, as you also mentioned, we do have the opportunity for a fast repricing in Central Eastern Europe, as in all business lines, it's basically one-year contracts. In Austria, where this is a bit different, we do have various indexes, also in our retail products, indexes which are very much reflected on the business line. So you also have in the private property, you have a construction price index and not just a consumer price index. You have in the casco insurance a car repair index and not just the consumer price index. So really reflecting also the underlying inflation for our claims, which is balancing the increased average claims. Seeing what happened in the renewal of reinsurance, and I'm sure you're well aware about the overall significant hardening of reinsurance, which was experienced by the primary insurance, we also see here in our markets, and this specifically with some of the more local competitors, that they are pushed by these higher prices, and therefore I do not have the feeling that prices go down in the current in environment, with one exception, which I come then, this is a bit the question one you are posing me. I hope I could give you some indication how we see this. Cost ratio in
I guess that's super helpful.
Okay. Cost ratio in Poland, it is a little bit vague described in our material with increased competition. Yes, this means that in the end, distribution and marketing costs have increased in relation to premiums generated. We still feel this pricing competition, but I do have somehow an indication that hopefully we are on the bottom line, as there is certain increased pricing on the fleet business, and fleet business is normally the first indication that maybe the market is more going back to a risk adequate pricing. Coming to Turkey, there are various estimation by modeling companies looking on the models of what will be the modeled insured loss in the region where the earthquake has happened in Turkey. This is somewhere between 3.5 to 5 billion euro as an estimate, taking around our market share in non-life, which is approximately 2.5%, looking on the first claims notification which we have received and extrapolating it, it seems that we will be around 100 million gross. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
The next question is coming from Thomas Unger from Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. I would like to follow up on talk about the claims and
can you please talk louder?
Hello? Can you hear me now? Is it better now?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about that. If you could if I could follow up on one of the questions that you answered. On premiums, and especially in Austria, the last 2.5 months now into 2023, how did clients react to your premium increases, probably quite sizable premium increases now coming through? Have you seen any changes in patterns from your customers? That's the first question. And then secondly, I would like to talk about Aegon and when do you expect to close the remaining parts of the Aegon acquisition? And if you could repeat the profit contribution that you had in 2022 from the new Aegon CE asset. And then lastly, I would like to ask on the dividend, what made you decide for the dividend at 1.3 euros per share, and why did you not opt for a higher payout in light of your strong balance sheet, strong capital ratios, and also quite strong results in 2022? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. Looking then specifically to Austria and to customer behavior due to inflation, there is no significant increases of Stornos cancellation in the life business, which could be one of the effects, but this is nothing which seems to be here of any significance or any correlation to it. The same is true for retail non-life. We didn't see anything that there is something like mass donors in private property household insurance due to limited budgets of people. If we come to corporate clients, this is different. What we see is also we are much more asked in the area of risk management and risk advice, and also the advisors, the intermediaries are much more asked on this topic, and corporate clients are more evaluating more detailed what is the risk. They are willing and think about increasing self-retentions, limiting certain coverages for ensuring that premium rises are not so significant. So on the corporate side, there is an intensive discussion how to protect, and risk sensitivity and risk awareness, not only because of inflation, but also due to geopolitical situation and also due to the COVID topics in the last years, have in our interaction with clients very much increased, which is on one hand side also a very positive thing, talking very intensively about how to protect the risks and not just to discuss purely premium levels.
I'm happy to take the second question regarding Aegon transaction. We closed Turkey, Hungary, and I explained the effects on the income statement in 2022. What is still open is Poland and Romania. The closing has not taken place so far, but from the impact, Poland and Romania are by far the biggest parts. From the Polish and Romanian entities, we expect around 100 million additional premium volume. Part to Aegon, the last question on the dividend. As I also explained, we are a little bit cautious when it comes to the outlook due to the macroeconomic environment, which is still challenging. You see a small U.S. bank is going bankrupt, and the capital markets are quite heavily affected. So there's still a lot of, uncertainty and also some disruptive elements that could take place in the next year. So taking all this into account, we do not give a concrete outlook for 2023. And when it comes to the dividend, our dividend yield is very attractive with 5.08%. And also the dividend is higher than last year. And taking all these aspects into account, our dividend, proposed dividend, we think is very attractive. And
Okay. Thank you. If I could just ask you again for the profit, pre-tax profit contribution by the Aegon SE assets in 2022. I missed that before in the presentation.
From Aegon Hungary and Turkey, we have impacts in the extended CE segment with premiums increase of more than 300 million euros, so 310 million euros. The profit contribution for Hungary is minus 29%. This is taking into account the additional tax on the insurance premium and also the depreciation of and impairments of insurance portfolios and customer base already mentioned. In special markets, we have additional premiums of 130 million euros. The profit contribution of Aegon Türkiye insurance company is around 6.3 million euros. These are the main effects last year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. One moment for the next question. There are no further questions at this time. I hand now back to Nina for closing comments.
Thank you for listening in and for your questions. Our next scheduled events are the AGM on the 26th of May, followed by the first quarter update on the 31st of May, 2023. In case of further questions, the investor relations team is there for you. Please reach out. And once again, thank you. Have a nice day and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.